Morning, everyone. Boy, talk about a perfect song for the times we live in. That was it. Let's just open in a word of prayer, Lord. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you put in my heart. As we dwell on it today, I pray, as you said in Isaiah, that it will not return to you empty, but it will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you sent it. Amen. Well, summer's over, as you know. We had three great picnics, and it was great to see so many people in the games, young and old, all kinds of games. You know, we used to go to up at Alamo, Stone Valley, and we had horseshoes, and we played that up there. We've had picnics at several locations, and now on our new site, we see a similar game to horseshoes, and that's the cornhole game. If you've seen it, it's a rectangular board with a 6-inch hole. They're similar in that in horseshoes, you score points with a ringer, a double ringer, a leaner, or just getting the shoe close to the stake. Cornhole games is similar in that you get the most points for throwing the beanbag into the hole and it goes down, and you get points when it goes into the colored ring, or you just get a point if it lands on the board. So what the games have in common, both of those games you can win just by getting close, that you can make a victory that way. The key point today is Christianity is not like horseshoes or a cornhole game. Nobody can get saved, receive the goal, which is Jesus Christ, this free gift of salvation, just by getting close or almost there. Can't do it. And all roads do not lead to heaven. There's only one true way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. Think about it. He gave his life for you and for me. I've read this verse many times, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He said, I am the way. At the men's lunch the other day, Sean was sharing, or maybe it was Vince Aubrey, all the biggies, Confucius, all these big religious heroes, they all have that in common, that they're all in the grave and all dead. Jesus has risen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we talk about getting saved, getting born again, I'm going to cover some scriptures. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We did that a couple weeks ago. I think 13 people were up here getting baptized. They believed, they were justified, and they shared their faith by talking to Adel and Mike. He died on the cross for our sins. We confess them, repent, believe on him, accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we are saved. It's not complicated. And we all have that past. Everybody has skeletons. When we're saved, we can turn, go 180, and go completely the opposite direction with our new life in Christ. He offers this gift to all. There's nothing we can do to get saved. Doesn't matter. We can't do anything to get saved. You have to go through Jesus. We're saved by grace, not by works. The Word of God, 66 books as directed by the Holy Spirit, written by 40 authors, is the complete truth. His way is the only way to gain an eternity in heaven with him. I know I just repeated some verses I always do, and I have some more here that I always do. That's okay. They can't be repeated too often. They hit you every time you hear them. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:12, he does the same thing. I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you know how. That's beautiful. You can't repeat these verses too often. They mean so much to us. We believe in the gospel. We are redeemed, those who are saved. It means good news. And Paul talks about it. He defines the gospel in this chunk of scripture. I'm going to read the whole thing. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-8, he writes, "Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firm to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one born abnormally." Plenty of witnesses. That is the gospel in a nutshell. There's plenty of scriptures that refers to it too. So what scriptures is he referring to? Two of them are in Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53, as many of you know. They give a complete, detailed, painstaking detail of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, how could you not believe? That was 600-700 years before that. And everything has come true in those prophecies. And there's many more about being born in Bethlehem and all kinds of things. All the prophecies come true. So for us today, and anybody at home watching, there's imminent danger of not believing these words or growing cold to them, thinking, "I've heard this before." It's Johnny One Note. We can't get cold to the word. Many of us have been going to church 30 years more. We've heard them 1,000 times. We have to get hit by them every single time. Unlike a man in the story I'm going to tell you, I read this in my devotional from David Jeremiah. It's called Now. It says, "There was a pastor who took a visiting evangelist with him to meet a farmer and his family. Everyone but the farmer had been saved, converted, born again, redeemed during revival meetings. And the pastor and evangelist hoped to witness to the man. But when they arrived, the farmer was offended. He said, 'I didn't ask you to bring anyone to preach to me. I know where the church is. Anytime I want to hear somebody preach, I go to church. I'm going to be safe sometime, but not until I'm good and ready.' The next Monday," true story, "the pastor's phone rang with an urgent call to come to the farmer's house. In a freak accident, he had fallen from the hayloft and died instantly. He fell at the very same spot where just 2 days before he declared, 'I'll get saved when I'm ready.'" He knew the gospel. He knew how to get saved, but he didn't want to. He said he'll do it when he's good and ready. He hardened his heart and he put off the decision to accept Christ. He thought he had plenty of time. Obviously, he did not. Nobody knows if there's going to be a tomorrow. Nobody knows when our time is up, all of us. It's different for everyone. Some people get very few years. We celebrated Sherry's dad's 97th birthday yesterday. Some get many years. I know a relative, she lived one day and then died. So we just thank God she's with the Lord today. We just never know, but today is the day of salvation. We must call upon the Lord while he was near. If anyone is close, almost there or on the fence, don't wait another moment. Come to him today while there's still time. So now, talking about some other folks who missed the boat, in their own scripture, again explained by Paul, they came close to salvation, but they missed the mark. Here's Paul speaking to very high-ranking people in the government. First of all, he gave his long testimony to them on his conversion on the road to Damascus. In Acts 26, starting in verse 19, says, this is one of the men, King Agrippa, he's with Festus. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout all the regions of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and to do works benefiting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. This is what we see today. And he said what I read earlier. He's just repeating the gospel. He didn't change anything around. Very respectfully, too, he talked. Here comes Festus. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said without a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. And Paul, very polite again, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, Agrippa, who's with him, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since these things were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe them. Then Agrippa, this poor man, said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Close as you can get. He had a high-ranking position. He's probably concerned about, what am I going to do this? What are people going to think? Because they know I'm not a Christian. But he worried about his them and now and not his future for eternity. And he said, oh, no, I'm not going to do it, Paul. Almost. He was like maybe the farmer. Terrible. And that's what some people do. These tactics are used everywhere today. We see believers mocked, criticized, insulted. It's all over the news these days. Killed. They get a lesson here in Matthew 10:33 from the NASB. It says, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. That is sobering. These people will get theirs if they don't turn and repent. Just the day before this happened, Agrippa was talking to Festus. He said, I'd like to hear from this man myself. So he had an interest. clearly that Paul was on King's mind. Yet when he heard the gospel, close, but no salvation. And that's the last we hear about him in Scripture. He's never mentioned again. We don't know what he did after that, but I doubt if he changed his mind. Being in that position, he probably didn't want to give up his authority. How sad how many reject Christ. It's like the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And what I liked about Paul is he started preaching immediately. He didn't wait, and he told the gospel to everyone he came in contact with. He does it again in Acts 17. He says, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man, that's Jesus, he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, here they go again. Some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council. They heard the gospel, and people, some may have been genuine, because I'll get to the good part in a minute, but when they say, I want to hear again on this, how many times does somebody have to hear again? The word hits us all, and hopefully it will act on people. And when you want to hear it again, sometimes it leads into a debate. And the gospel is not up for debate. It's proven, it's factual. We don't want to have debaters coming in. I remember I brought a man to a men's dinner one night, and a very smart man. He's heard the gospel, and Adel was there, and he basically tried to debate Adel a little, and that's not what we're here for. We should take the word to heart. There's nothing to debate. It's fact. Millions of lives have been changed. Many lives in mine, my life has been changed, and members of my family. All the prophecies have come true as promised in the word. We should receive it, accept it, believe it, and grow like a seed in fertile soil. At the same time, with the same setting, this is good. In verse 34, it says, some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. So we have some believers in here, a whole group of them, which is beautiful. And they didn't say, what about that, Paul? I'm not sure on that. I want to talk to you about that. They took it, believed it, and went with it. They were like seeds planted in fertile soil, and they grew. They heard the exact same words as the others who did not accept. And the others missed the opportunity. Those others were, you know, the parable. Those were like the seeds that were planted on rocky soil, didn't grow, weren't watered. But as, again, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know, we all have huge decisions to make. We just had a marriage a month ago. Am I going to get married? What kind of career am I going to go into? What am I going to study in college? Then for us older people, when are we going to retire? Are we going to buy a house? Where are we going to buy a house? They're hard decisions to make, but every one of them is a big decision. But what they all have in common, they're all temporary. They go when we go. But the decision for Christ lasts for an eternity. That's the big decision we all have to make. What are we going to do with this Jesus Christ? What are we going to do? And I like what, this is all over Caleb. I heard many of you have heard this song. It's by Zach Williams. And he says it best in his song, Jesus Loves. So come on in, the door is open, and the Savior's arms are too. The table's set, a seat is waiting, and he saved it just for you. So no more running, no more hiding. Come on in, and you will find that you don't have to be enough to be someone Jesus loves. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love your word, Lord. We thank you for making everything so clear, how to come into your kingdom. We pray that if anyone is touched by these words, Lord, if anybody is not sure or on the fence or watching at home, we want nobody to be like this farmer. We want people to join your kingdom, get saved, and spend eternity with you. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.